In the last lecture, we looked at the due dates for tax returns under self-assessment. In this module, we will take a look at when and how the tax is actually paid.
Tax for the 2010-11 tax year is paid in two stages. Firstly, a taxpayer makes two payments on account of income tax for the tax year. The first payment on account is made on the 31st of January in the relevant tax year. For 2010-11, the first payment on account is made on the 31st of January 2011. The second payment on account is made 6 months later, on the 31st of July 2011. The taxpayer will generally submit his tax return no later than the 31st of January 2012, and at this point he will be in a position to finalise his tax liability for the tax year 2010-11. So, on this date, i.e. on the 31st of January, he will make a balancing payment. This means that having calculated the tax due for the tax year, he will knock off the two payments on account already made, and the balance of tax will be paid no later than the 31st of January 2012. Therefore, the final date by which all tax must be paid for the year is the 31st of January following that tax year. In this instance, the final deadline for the payment of tax and for the submission of the tax return is the 31st of January 2012. The only exception to this is where the return is issued late. In this case, the date for filing the return and paying the tax is 3 months after the issue of the return. To recap, the first thing we do is to calculate the income tax due for 2010-11. We then add on any capital gains tax due for the same year to give us the total tax due. We then deduct payment on account number 1, then deduct payment on account number 2, and what we are left with is the balancing payment due on the 31st of January 2012. Each payment on account for a particular tax year is 50% of the tax due for the previous tax year. So here we look back to the tax year 2009-10, work out the tax due for the previous tax year, tax due being tax liability minus tax deducted at source, and we divide this figure by 2. The resulting number is each payment on account for the tax year 2010-11.
One final point to note here is that payments on account are only ever made in respect of income tax. No payments on account are required in respect of capital gains tax. Capital gains tax is always due and payable on the 31st of January following the year in which the capital gain was made.
So in this instance, the CGT is payable in one lump on the 31st of January 2012. Let us illustrate this with an example. Roger has the following tax liabilities for 2009-10 and 2010-11. In the relevant years, he has income tax liabilities of £14,000 and £18,000 respectively. Some tax has been deducted at source in each year to give him income tax due for 2009-10 of £6,000 and for 2010-11 of £8,000. He has to pay some capital gains tax for the year, and this gives him total tax due of £7,500 for 2009-10 and £13,000 for 2010-11. What we are demonstrating here is how the tax for 2010-11 is actually going to be paid to HMRC. For 2010-11, the first thing Roger will have to do is to make a payment on account on the 31st of January in the tax year. This first payment on account will be made on the 31st of January 2011. Each payment on account is 50% of the income tax due for the previous tax year. So, if we look back to 2009-10, the income tax due, note here that it is income tax, not capital gains tax, was £6,000. So, the first payment on account for 2010-11 is 50% of this figure, being £3,000. A payment on account will also be required on the 31st of July 2011. This payment on account will be the same amount, i.e. £3,000. This, you will recall, is 50% of the income tax due for the previous tax year. So, as at the 31st of July 2011, Roger will have paid £6,000 to HMRC, these being payments on account of his tax liability for the tax year 2010-11. On the 31st of January 2012, Roger will submit his tax return for the year ended the 5th of April 2011. This shows that his income tax due is £8,000, and his CGT due is £5,000. This gives him total tax due for 2010-11 of £13,000. However, Roger will not have to pay the full amount of £13,000 on the 31st of January 2012, because some tax has already been paid on account. We deduct the payment made on the 31st of January 2011, and we also deduct the payment made on the 31st of July 2011, to give us tax due and payable on the 31st of January 2012. The first payment on account was £3,000. The second payment on account was also £3,000, leaving a balancing payment due on the 31st of January 2012 of £7,000. This £7,000 is effectively additional income tax of £2,000 and the whole of the capital gains tax of £5,000. Remember that the capital gains tax is always paid in one lump on the 31st of January following the tax year. This will tidy up Roger's tax liabilities for 2010-11.
However, if you were writing to Roger in practice, you would not simply advise him to pay the sum of £7,000. Don't forget that on the 31st of January, as well as making a balancing payment for the previous year, Roger will also have to make his first payment on account for the following year.
Roger's first payment on account for 2011-12 will be equal to 50% of the income tax due for 2010-11. The income tax due for 2010-11 was £8,000. So, if we take 50% of this, Roger's first payment on account for 2011-12 will be £4,000. So, in your letter to Roger, you would ask him to make a total payment to HMRC of £11,000. A few months later, you would write to Roger again, reminding him that he needs to make a second payment on account on the 31st of July 2012 of £4,000.
If your client ignores your advice and pays his tax late, the revenue will charge him interest on his overdue tax. This interest will always be charged. The officer has power to mitigate or to reduce penalties, but it is very rare in practice to find an inspector that is kind enough to reduce or cancel an interest charge. The revenue regards an interest charge as compensation for the fact that the money should have been sitting in the government's bank account when it was actually sitting in the taxpayer's. Interest will be charged if either the payments on account are late or the final balancing payment is late. Interest runs from the normal due date for payment of the tax to the day before payment is actually received by the revenue. Interest accrues and is calculated on a daily basis.
HMRC charge interest at an interest rate calculated as bank base rate plus 2.5%.
If you are studying this as part of an examination course, you will be given the rate of interest in your examination.
At the moment, HMRC's rate is 3%. So let us demonstrate how interest works by going through the following example. Simon has the following tax liabilities for 2008-09 and 2009-10. You'll see that Simon has tax liabilities of £13,000 for 2008-09 and £16,000 for 2009-10. Our first job is to show the payments that Simon should be making for the tax year 2009-10. The first thing to remember is that Simon will be obliged to make payments on account for 2009-10. Each payment on account will be 50% of the income tax due for the previous year. So here, each payment on account will be £13,000 times 50%, being £6,500. So, £6,500 is due on the 31st of January 2010. A further £6,500 is due for payment on the 31st of July 2010. Simon's balancing payment is due on the 31st of January 2011. The total tax due for 2009-10 is £16,000. Payments on account totalling £13,000 have already been made, leaving Simon with a balancing payment of £3,000. This balancing payment is due on the 31st of January 2011.
Take a few seconds to remind yourself when Simon should be paying his income tax. Once you're happy with the due dates, click the Continue button on the bottom of your screen. Now let us assume that Simon is not particularly well organised, and he does not manage to pay his tax on the normal due dates.
The first payment on account of £6,500 is made on the 30th of January 2010. The due date is the 31st of January, so this payment is just about in time. The second payment on account of £6,500 is made on the 18th of September 2010. The normal due date is the 31st of July 2010, so you will see that this second payment on account is late. As such, HMRC will charge Simon some interest. The balancing payment is due on the 31st of January 2011. Simon pays £500 on the 29th of January 2011, so only part of the balancing payment is paid on time. The remainder of the balancing payment, being £2,500, is not made by Simon until the 1st of May 2011.
This payment is late and will attract an interest charge. So let us start by calculating the interest on the late paid tax.
Interest will be charged on the second instalment paid on the 18th of September 2010. The interest will be the tax paid late, i.e. £6,500, multiplied by the amount of days that it is late. This is 49 out of 365, multiplied by the rate of interest, which we shall take to be 3%. The interest period runs from the 31st of July 2010, the due date for paying the tax, to the 17th of September 2010, which is the day before the actual date of payment. The number of days in this period is 49. So, the interest charged for this period is £26. Our second lot of interest runs on the late paid balancing payment. The balancing payment of £2,500 was made on the 1st of May 2011, so it is late by 90 days. The interest charge is £2,500 multiplied by 90 over 365, again multiplied by 3%. You will see here that the interest period runs from the normal due date, i.e. 31st of January 2011, to the day before the actual date of payment. Here it is the 30th of April 2011. This interest charge comes to £18. So note here, on the two occasions where the tax has been paid late, HMRC always levy an interest charge. The total charge to be levied on Simon is £44. This is in addition to his tax liability for 2009-10. Schedule 56 FA 2009 contains new penalty provisions in respect of late payment of tax, although these provisions have not yet been implemented.